Hello friends, we will now look at chapter number 2 of import-export management, that is looking at the regulatory functions. And in chapter 2, we will discuss the foreign trade policy. Now, before we go ahead, let us understand what is the meaning of a foreign trade policy. All countries in the world, they do trading with each other. And that trading is foreign trading, of course. But each country has got a different level of their own policies as far as foreign trade is concerned. But this policy has got to be compatible with the policies of WTO, World Trade Organizations. And World Trade Organization steps in where the policies of a particular country are not incompatible with the WTO general scheme. So let us try to understand what is the policy. When we want to look at the structure, we look at the foreign trade policies in general, that is a generalized as per the structure of the WTO. Then foreign trade policy of 2015 to 2020, which has been extended year on. Even today, it's on an extended form up to 31st March. And here we will look at, first of all, a general policy. Then we will look at the export promotion schemes. We will look at export reward schemes. Then we will look at a particular scheme which is known as a side scheme granted for infrastructure to the states. And then we will look at the deemed exports, where goods are not being exported out of India but used for World Bank aided projects in India, and they also get export benefits. Why? Because foreign exchange is being earned. When we look at a generalized form of policy, foreign trade policies are enacted by governments for favorable economic conditions for their respective countries. And always you will find that there is a thrust point, which is to discourage import and encourage exports. Why discourage imports? Because import means outgo of foreign exchange. Whereas encouraging export, that means earning of foreign exchange. The more foreign exchange that the country earns, the more positive benefits they get. Economically, they become well off. The three most common aspects of any foreign trade policies are tariffs, import quotas, and export subsidies. Tariffs and import quotas are designed to discourage imports, and export subsidies are designed to encourage exports. Increasing net exports and creating a more favorable balance of trade increases the national income for the country. It is on this account that all countries have their own format of the foreign trade policy. First of all, you have got the tariffs. What is the meaning of tariff? It is added to the price of the imported goods in the form of duties and taxes by the country. Every country has got duties and taxes added onto the import goods which are known as customs duties. And prices of import is thus higher, which tends to decrease the quantity being purchased. On the other hand, import quotas are non-tariff based policy. It is a quantity restriction placed on import of goods, services, or any activity. And governments impose legal restrictions on the quantity of imports. Next, we have export subsidies. It is paid to the local industries to encourage exports of production of the foreign sector. They are justified as a means of helping the local industry to compete with lower cost imports. When we look at the Indian regulatory framework, we have got the Ministry of Commerce and Industry, who have the legislative control of all foreign trade through the Foreign Trade Development and Regulation Act of 1992. And here the DGFT, that is Director General of Foreign Trade, has been appointed to lay down the policy for 5 years. Every 5 years, the policy is modified. I would say modified, not amended. Of course, the previous five-year policy has been extended just on a temporary basis. It's in an extension stage even now. And in our regulatory framework, we have a Board of Trade, which is constituted and has a clear and dynamic role in advising the government on all relevant issues connected with foreign trade. And this Board of Trade are people from the commercial or business group, private entities, private entrepreneurs, who keep on advising the government on all aspects of the foreign trade. The objective is to provide a stable and sustainable policy environment for foreign trade in all goods, merchandise, and services, to help the Indian economy to gain global competitiveness. When we want to look at the foreign trade policy, government has taken a number of important policy initiatives. Of course, these have been on a modification, part modification level on the previous existence of the policy, such as the Make in India, the Digital India, and the Skills India. These are all policy measures to fast track our foreign trade policy. The policy provides a framework for increasing exports of goods and services, as well as generation of employment and increasing value addition in the country. This is the most important aspect as far as foreign trade is concerned. We have to have value addition to any raw material which we have. Trade facilitation is a priority of the government for cutting down the transaction cost and time, thereby rendering Indian exports more competitive. We become more competitive in the international market. This is where the government is taking initiatives. And over the years, we have built up a brand India, which has become a synonymous with quality and reliability. You look at the imports coming from China, they are all cheap quality material. They cannot be used for a long time. But if you look at Indian goods, most of the Indian goods are all brand conscious quality goods, reliable goods, where we are able to get more and more orders for those respective goods. Yes, the policy has given trade facilitation In order to facilitate international trade, DGFT consults various export promotion councils as well as trade and industry. Now, export promotion councils are specific organizations created by the government product-wise to help exporters. The focus is on good governance, which depends on efficient, transparent, and accountable delivery system. It is only when we look at these situations that we can increase our share of trade in the world. DGFT has created a new logistic division in the Department of Commerce to develop and coordinate integrated development of the logistics sector, because the logistics sector is the sector which affects the transaction cost of any import or export procedure. The policy has created a Niryat Bandhu, which is an initiative of DGFT. It is a hand-holding scheme for new export-import entrepreneurs with a focus on ease of trading across borders. That means it is helping newcomers to enter import-export trade. And lately, you must be seeing that digital commerce has taken vast strides throughout the commercial angle or day-to-day working which we see going on. India's digital commerce industry has evolved and picked up significant momentum during the past few years. We have emerged as the fastest growing economy in the world, and it is expected to be one of the top three economic powers over the next 10 to 15 years. We are developing digitally very fast as compared to other countries. And, you know, the DGFT is creating new platforms. Open Network and Digital Commerce is a platform which caters to the diverse needs of the digital commerce ecosystem players. You have got a new platform. The ongoing digital transformation in terms of access to connectivity is due to the affordable cost. This platform is to give you affordable costing. And increased investment in the startup ecosystem are significant factors which are contributing this growth of foreign trade. Digital commerce has brought a significant shift in how goods and services are delivered across the planet. I am not saying only in India, only across India, but over the entire world situation, and has transformed the market interaction, the interaction between the buyers and the sellers. Today, whatever interactions that are taking place is all digitally being done. You can virtually contact at any given moment any person in the other part of the world. Platforms are enabling digital marketplaces for buyers and sellers under a single service provider. Go to internet web services, you can get service providers. Large integrated solutions are connecting services like warehousing, logistics, payments, etc. All your payments you see today are e-payment basis. That is where Fast Track has come up to a very great extent. And the platforms empower the providers and consumers to build a reputation through the transactions of their systems. They have become powerful systems as on date. This has, of course, limited the exposure of new sellers coming online, except as part of an established service provider. New players are finding it difficult because there is infrastructure development required, and therefore new players have got to enter this business through an existing service provider and then jump to their own format. Look at the facilities being given by DGFT on digital commerce. First of all, bank realization certificate. What is a bank realization certificate? When you export certain goods, you get payment for that goods through your banking system. And when your bank gets that payment, he informs you that payment has come. And then they generate a bank realization certificate for that export proceed in foreign exchange. Today, there are no physical hard copies of the bank realization certificate. It is all electronic bank realization certificate, that is EBRCs. This has enabled DGFT to capture all details of realization of export proceeds directly from banks through a secured electronic mode. Not only DGFT, but RBI also, customs also, through the same secured electronic mode, they capture details of this export realization. Next, exporters are required to register themselves and obtain a registration and membership certificate for export promotion councils so that they get services from that councils, or in case they are getting any additional benefits from the government under various schemes, then RCMC is compulsory. Today, there is no hard copy of the RCMC. It's all electronic RCMC. And DGFT has launched an eRCMC module as a soft launch of electronic filing and real-time issuance of the certificate. This will deliver a seamless experience for the importers and exporters. Looking to the sanctions placed on Russia on account of this Ukraine-Russia war, many countries are not able to freely, openly do trade because of restrictions placed on SWIFT for settlement of the foreign exchange conversion. Many countries are affected, but in India we have taken a very hard decision, we have taken a very fast decision by allowing rupee-denominated trade. DGFT has announced that import and export trade can be conducted in Indian currency. That means as of today, you can prepare an invoice, whether it is for import or export. Export from here to other countries, and other countries, when you want to import, you can ask them to designate the currency, not US dollar, not euro dollars, Indian rupees directly. It is now allowed. And by doing this, India has pitched its own currency to be considered for trade, to internationalize the Indian currency. Previously, the US dollar, euro dollar, and other developed countries' currencies were internationalized. Today, our currency has now entered the market. This will help to reduce the pressure on our foreign exchange reserves. We have got to control the foreign exchange, but it will reduce the pressure. Why? Because we receive payment in Indian rupees, we also give payment in Indian rupees, so that transactions will be as per our local system only, not necessary by foreign currency reserves. it will also signal to countries that they could actually bypass the dollar to trade with India. Currently, most of India's foreign trade is conducted in US dollars or euro dollars, with 86% in dollars and 8% in euro dollars. That's the level of foreign currency which we are using for our international trade purposes. And in case of growing trade in rupees, it could stir the American and European governments. It will definitely affect the American and European governments. Russia, a large economy, has started trading in Indian rupees with India. Why? Because Russia has been placed in a number of sanctions by all European countries and America. So they cannot use the SWIFT settlement exchange system. They cannot do any trading in US dollar or euro dollars. But as far as India is concerned, we have moved so very fast that Russia and India, we will be directly dealing in Indian rupees from our side and ruble from Russia's side, with a fixed exchange rate between India and ruble. This growing trade can function as a stimulus for other big countries to trade in rupees. And this will drum up, this will increase the value of the Indian currency over a long period of time. Today, all trade with Russia, Iran, or any other country which is willing to trade in rupees can be done through the Vostro account system. The Reserve Bank has allowed Vostro accounting method with all the banks. They will trade in the Indian currency when they find it easier to transact with and more profitable than the dollar. That means if we make it easy for foreign countries to transact in Indian rupees, they'll be happy to do if we come to a very easy understanding on this issue. And this will give a boost to exporting our defense products. We are now slowly becoming a giant as far as defense production is concerned, exporting defense products. And when we start exporting defense products through the rupee payment, it can benefit India, it can benefit a lot of Asian and African countries. These are the developing countries who find it difficult to adjust their US dollars and euro dollars foreign currency accounts. When we look at the documentation for imports and exports, in the past, we had a number of documents on a given example. If we go back to 10, 15 years back, then any transaction, import and export transaction, completion of that transaction required a set of 64 different types of documents being handled at various points, various situations. So they were a total headache and eating away the transaction cost, increasing transaction cost. Now, in order to reduce the transaction cost, DGFT has now come out with a mandatory requirement of only 3 documents for imports and 3 documents for export. And the documents are bill of lading, airway bill for export, commercial invoice compacting list for export, shipping bill or bill of export for export. And again, for import, there's bill of lading or airway bill, commercial invoice compacting list, and a bill of entry. These are common documents. These are the only 3 mandatory documents. If any other documents are required, then they are not mandatory. This depends on country to country, exporter to exporter, importer to importer, on their personal level as per the respective regulatory requirements. They may be optional, may be mandatory. But as far as generalized import-export transactions, we use only these three documents. As far as export consignments are concerned, there are two things which you always remember, which is very favorable for you, all exporters. Free passage of export consignment. Any consignment meant for export shall not be withheld or delayed for any reason by any agency of the central government or the state government. They cannot be stopped. They cannot be delayed under any condition. In case of any doubt, an undertaking may be taken from the exporter and the consignment released for movement. So no government department can stop an export shipment or delay the export shipment. Also, no seizure of export-related stock. Any doubt that they are having, any agency is having, they cannot seize the export stock. No seizure shall be made by any agency so as to disrupt delivery schedule of an exporter. Of course, in exceptional cases, stocks may be seized, but such seizure should be lifted within 7 days. Unless the irregularities are substantiated, so that basically means that within 7 days, the agency has to substantiate, otherwise release the consignment for export. For all importers, exporters, the first and foremost document is IEC or Importer Exporter Code Number. The Importer-Exporter Code or IEC is mandatory for export-import from and to India. All IECs are linked to the PAN number issued by the Income Tax Department. No company, person or firm can have more than one IEC for one PAN number. You cannot have multiple IECs. And as of today, it has become an electronic IEC or EIEC. These applications are processed online by DGFT website, and applicants can upload the documents and pay the required fee through the net banking system. Processing of such applications by regional authorities are done online, and a digital signed EIC is issued and emailed to the applicant. It is a very fast process, mind you. You can get it on the same day also. If you have the required details, the required documents ready with you and upload it online, immediately the EIC is issued. When we look at the import and export policy, all goods may be imported or exported without any restrictions, except as regulated by International Trade Classification, Harmonized System, or any other provisions of foreign trade policy or any other law for the time being in force, which I have already discussed in the previous chapter, that is the first chapter. Goods which are restricted under ITCHS may be exported or imported only in accordance with an authorization, that is the license, or in terms of any public notice issued for the respective goods. And as I told you before, previous chapter, prohibited goods are not allowed to be imported or exported. Banned means totally banned, but if they are restricted, subject to applicability of allied acts. DGFT may, however, specify through a public notice such terms and conditions according to which any goods not included in ITC harmonized system may be exported without an authorization, without any license. Thank you.